Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Chav Gimel. We're holding on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page on Chav Beis Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And it's also sponsored anonymously as a zuchus for Rus Chaya Maria Bas Shoshana Miriam. I assume this is for Shalema. So we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding again at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Beis and Beis, and the Mishnah is going to discuss, we're still in the conversation about Pasei Biros and Parak Osin Pasin over here, so the Mishnah is going to discuss what type of water source is eligible for this great heter called Pasei Biros. It's not every puddle that you can make Pasei Biros for, so what type of water source? And there are going to be two basic factors in determining whether something is eligible for Pasei Biros. Then the next Mishnah is going to talk about the halachos of a karpef, what qualifies as hukaf ledira, what's not considered to be hukaf ledira. The Gemara is going to first discuss why it is that the Mishnah about the karpef starts with the word va'od, va'od amar. Va'od is always a continuation of something. What is this a continuation of, and why do we sometimes in Shas begin a Mishnah when the same Tana talks in two separate Mishnayos? We sometimes begin the second Mishnah with the word va'od, and sometimes we don't begin the next Mishnah with the word va'od. And the Gemara is then going to discuss not only the usage of an area in order for it to be a karpef, whether it's hukaf ledira or not hukaf ledira, but the shape of a karpef, what type of shape the area has to be in order for it to be considered, in order for it to be hutar al yedei mechitzos, in order for it to become mutar by putting mechitzos around it. Then the Gemara is going to discuss at the very end of the daf, we'll see if we get to it today, if an area is partially ledira and partially planted with vegetation and not necessarily ledira. So how do we view it? Do you view that as an area that's hukaf ledira or an area that's not hukaf ledira? And that sugya is going to take us well into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin. We've been discussing this halacha of Pasei Biraos, that as long as you set up these four posts around this source of water, it's going to be permissible to draw water from there and to feed your animals. However, not every water source is included in that heter, and there are two basic factors the Mishnah is going to outline to determine whether a water source is eligible. One factor is the type of water source, meaning is it spring water or mayim mechunasim, water that's just gathered together in a bar, and the second factor is it used by the rabbim or is it by a yachid? Is it an individually owned area, water source rather, or something that's used by the rabbim, by the masses? So the Tanakhama tells us as follows: Echod bara rabbim ube'era rabbim ube'era yachid osnan pasin. If you have a bar that's that belongs to the rabbim, a be'er that belongs to the rabbim, or a be'er that belongs to a yachid, so it's eligible for Pasei Biraos. The only thing that's not eligible for Pasei Biraos, aval bar hayachid osla mechitza kavah asar tvachim. If A, it's a bar, and B, it's only owned by a yachid, then you can't just do Pasei Biraos, you're going to need to do a real mechitza. And the reason for the concern is that by a bar, the water may ultimately dry up, and there's a concern that people will continue to use that area. Well, wait a second, then why by a rabbin? Why if the rabbin own it, don't I have that same concern? Because whenever a rabbim owns something, we always can rely on the rabbim reminding each other. So since people will remind each other that no, the Pasei Biraos don't work here anymore because the bar has dried up, so whenever it's owned by a rabbim, I'm allowed to rely on Pasei Biraos. The Tiferes Yisrael explains on the Mishnayos that it does not mean that as people are trying to use it on Shabbos, they'll remind each other that the water has dried up and they shouldn't utilize the heter of Pasei Biraos. It means they'll discuss it all week long, and people will realize, because all week people are going to be talking about how the bar has dried up, because it can't be that people are going to remind, that we're going to rely on people reminding each other as they're about to use it, because we would only rely on such a thing when everyone's using it at the same time. So if all the people are around at the same time, but a bar harabim is not something that people use all at the same time, it's just that throughout the day people are coming in and out of there, and people may want to give their animals to drink or may want to just carry other things in that area. So you can't rely on them reminding each other then and there, but we do rely on the fact that people will know about it. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva's shita. Rabbi Akiva holds, in order for it to be a problem, it needs to be tarti l'reyusa. It needs to have both factors working against you, that it's only a yachid and that it's a bor, not a be'er. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Omer Enos and Pasanel be'er or Rabbi Bilvad, that no, in order for it to work, it needs Tarti L'Tivusa. It needs both factors working in your favor. That it has to be a be'er, which never dries up, and it has to be something that's owned by a rabbin. You need both svaras lahakel, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava holds that the chamur only matir ayidei pasim when it belongs to the rabbin. But mayim shel yachid wasn't such a great sorech that we needed to be makel on pasim biros. Granted, if it's a be'er of a yachid, it's not going to dry up, and there's no concern that the water is not going to be there anymore. But why would the chacham institute this concept called pasim biros for a be'er hayachid, for something that's only for an individual? And even Bishal Rabbim, it's only by a Be'er and not by a Bar. Tosos and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph have explained that the reason Rabbi Ben Bava says you're not allowed to fill up from a Bar Shal Rabbim, even though you don't have to be choshish that after the water dries up, people are going to continue to do so, because after all, Rabbi Akiva had a point that the Rabbim are Maskirim Zelazet, that they'll always remind each other. So Tosos points out it's based on what the Gemara said in Chaf Aleph, that they only allowed Pasi Biros for water that's ru'uyim la'adam, for water that people would normally drink. By a bar, typically the water is not as clean, because the water can get dirty, whereas a spring water tends to be cleaner. So that's why they were more machmir on a be'er. And the reason that they were makbid, that the water be something that people drink, so we already saw, that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Rashi writes, because pasim are only considered a mechitza because of the water, so you need very chashav water in order to make these pasim into a mechitza. Whereas Tosus understands that since the Takanas Chacham was that once you fill up water to feed your behema and you have extra water, you have leftovers, you're allowed to use that water for people as well. So that's why pasim are only mutter for the sake of people. Ulishaar, says the Mishnah, osin chagura kavoa asar tfachim. But for a bor shal rabim, for a bor or a be'er shal yachid, then the pasim biros not going to be good enough. You need to make a full chagura that is 10 tfachim. What is a chagura? So chagura normally means a belt. So Rashi writes, yeah, like you belt it as the way we've described. You can make a lovewood fence where you just have straps going around the perimeter, and as long as you put the straps within 3 tfachim of each other, so then that's going to create lovewood, and that will be your fence. That will be perfectly fine, but you cannot rely on pasi biros in 3 out of the 4 cases, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. That's how Rashi understands what chagura means over here. The Ritva writes that Rabbi Akiva says that lavud of a yachid, you could make a mechitza, and he doesn't say chagura, holds that, Rabbi Akiva says, that by a bar shal yachid, you make a mechitza, meaning even Rabbi Akiva had one case where he was machmir, and when he was machmir, he didn't say make a chagura. Rabbi Akiva, who was the Tanakama, had the one case where you have tati l'reisa, where he was machmir, but he didn't say the word chagura, he said make a mechitza. So it sounds like, according to Rabbi Akiva, you need a real mechitza, that a chagura is not going to be good enough, that you need a mechitza of shasiv arev. However, Tosla says, no, we're reading too much into this. Chagura doesn't mean the loved thing with the straps. Chagura just means a mechitza, a very tiny Tosla at the very end of the page. Chagura, perush, mechitza. Chagura just means a mechitza. He's coming lafuke Rashi, who tells us that the chagura involves utilizing the loved. Rabbi Yohanan says, oh, why do you call it a chagura then, if it really just means a mechitza? He said, because it straps around all sides. So anything that's totally makif, you're going to call it chagura, because it belts around the entire side. But we're not saying that it's mamish like a belt, that it doesn't have shasivariv. We're talking about where it really does have shasivariv. It's just a regular mechitza. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef and Midor Shmuel, how do we paskin? Halachak Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that only a be'er shal rabim are we makel with, to have pasi biraos. And Vam Rav Yosef and Midor Shmuel, Shmuel also told us, Lo hutru pasi biros el be'er mayim chayim bilvad. That pasi biros is only works for a be'er mayim chayim and not for a bar. So says Gemara, well, of course, if you tell me that you pass on the Rabbi Ben Bava, and Rabbi Ben Bava is only makel by a be'er shal rabim, so obviously you're telling me that it only works for a be'er mayim chayim and not for a bar. So tzricha, now he needs to tell me both of these things. Shmuel needs both of these comments. If he just would have told me that the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, I would think the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava in terms of only allowing shal rabim, but I would think that maybe we're not so makbid that it be a be'er as opposed to a bar. V'hai diktani be'er harabim lafugim mit Rabbi Akiva. And the only reason it says be'er harabim is to tell me against Rabbi Akiva, who holds that even a be'er of a yachid is good enough. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is coming to disagree and say that even a be'er is only okay if it's a rabim. So kamash malan, that's why he has to tell me the utra pasuk rosh el be'er mayim chayim, that we do in fact insist that it be a be'er, not just that it be shal rabim, but that it be a be'er as well. The yashminan, and if Shmuel would only tell me that be'er mayim chayim, the meimer that it has to be be'er mayim chayim, havamina loshna d'rabim loshna d'yachra, I would think, okay, fine, as long as it's be'er mayim chayim, that's good enough. It's the only factor that we're going to look at, and it doesn't matter if it's shal rabim or shal yachid. So kamash malan alach rabbi dimen bava. That's why he has to also tell me that alach like rabbi dimen bava, that shal rabim or shal yachid makes a difference. Meaning, we mamish pasna like Rabbi Bava. Both factors matter, and you need tarti l'tivusa. It needs to be shal rabim, and it needs to be a be'er in order for it to be mutter. Good. Now we move on to the next mishnah. This mishnah is going to move away from pasi biros and talk about karpef, meaning mina Torah. Anytime you have an area that's surrounded by mechitos, no matter how large the area is, mina Torah it's a rosh hashayachin, and you could be metaltel throughout the entire area. However, the chachamim made a gzeira that if the area is extremely large, it's more than 70 amos and 4 tfachim by 70 amos and 4 tfachim, now it already starts to resemble a rishos harabim, even though it's surrounded by walls, so you cannot treat it like a rishos hayachid. So we're going to discuss the details of that gzeira. Where do we get 70 amos and 4 tfachim? Where do I come up with that number? So that's beis hasayim. Beis hasayim means 50 amos by 100 amos, but if you square out 50 amos by 100 amos, it's 70 amos and change by 70 amos and change. So Yosem Mibes Hasayim, we're already going to have a chumrah that even if it's surrounded by mechitzos, we're not going to treat it as a full-fledged Rosh Hashayachid. So V'odam Rabbi Ben Bava. Rabbi Ben Bava said further, Hagina V'akarpef. If you have a garden that you plant vegetables in, or a karpef, a large area outside of the city that you keep wood in, you keep firewood or something like that, Shein Shivim Amos V'Shirayim Al Shivim Amos V'Shirayim, which is 70 amos and change. By 70 amos and change, Hamukafas Gadar Gavah Asar Tzvachim, and it's surrounded by a real mechitza, a tent hafachai wall, mitaltlin betocha, ublavat sheyeba shomera, o bezdira, o shetei smucha le'ir. You are allowed to be mitaltel in it, it has a din of rishos siyachid, provided that there's a guard booth in there, or there's some sort of bezdira in there, or that it's at least close to your house. Because if it's close to your house, then you're likely to use it frequently, and therefore it's considered to be a dira. Rabbi Ben Bava holds that the chamor goes there, that even something that's not bigger than 70 amos and shirayim will only have a din of rishos yachid if it's hukaf l'dira. That's what he seems to be telling us, that the din of hukaf l'dira is not only for a gigantic enclosure. The din of hukaf l'dira is even when it's a smaller enclosure, it still needs to be hukaf l'dira. So a couple of things over here. First of all, what does it mean that it's samach l'beisel, that it's close to, how close to your house? So samach ear. So the Meiri says Samach Le'ir means within 70 Amos and Shirayim of the city. And he quotes Yesh Mefarshim, and Rabbeinu Yohanan holds this way, that it has to be Smuch Le'ir within Alpayim Amma. Where does each number come from? So 70 Amos and Shirayim, that's Burganin, right? We already discussed when we're talking about Tchum Shabbos, that the city extends. If you have a little hut within 70 Amos and change from the city, so that is now the city line from which you measure the Tchum Shabbos. And Alpayim Amma, obviously where that comes from, is that that's the actual Tchum Shabbos. That Tchum Shabbos is measured as 2,000 amos. So those are the two basic shitos in Rishonim, just what smucha means over here. However, all of this is only if it's a place that's 70 amos and shirayim by 70 amos and v'shirayim and smaller, right? Obviously, we're not going to say that if it's smaller, it's different. Tulsus points out al-Bulvad, when we say that it has to be, it needs a shomera, it means that this shita seems to be assuming, the way Rashi understands the Mishnah is that 70 amos for Shraim and smaller still needs to be hukaf ledira. It's not enough that it has a mechitz around it. It still needs to be a place that's hukaf ledira. Tosfos says it's just illogical to assume that the Mishnah is talking about something that's exactly 70 amos for Shraim, and that which is less does not have to be hukaf ledira, and that which is more won't even help if it's hukaf ledira. And it's only if it's exactly this size, mamish, that hukaf ledira is going to make a difference. So this is very illogical to assume that there are three madrigals over here. So most likely, when we say 70 amos of shrine, we mean 70 amos of shrine and less, that it still needs to be hukaf ledira. But any place that's larger than that, Rabbi Yudah ben Bava would say, even if it's hukaf ledira, still no good. You're not allowed to be metaltel more than 4 amos. So essentially, there were two separate gzeros, that anything that's larger than the chatzar mishkan is not considered Rosh Hashiachid, even if it is hukaf ledira. And even a place that's the size of the Chatzar Mishkan or smaller, that's the size of Beis HaSayim or smaller, if it's not Hukaf Ladira, a separate Gezerah, that you're not allowed to use it. That's how Rashi understands the Sheet of Rabbi Yudah ben Bava in the Mishnah. Most of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. The Tosfos and the Rashba and the Ritva, they all say that it's not mistaver to say that according to Rabbi Yudah ben Bava, you have a large area that's Hukaf Ladira, and that's going to be a problem. Why is it not mistaver to say this? Because this is not the first time in this Masechta that we've raised this issue. We've already had previous discussions of Yud Ches, and we said Afilu Kor V'Korayim Afilu Beis Chameshes Kor. We gave all sorts of crazy numbers, no matter how big it is, as long as it took off the Dira. And no one said a peep then that if it's larger than Beis HaSayim, then Hukaf Ladira doesn't matter. There was no Tana that held that way. So all of a sudden now we're going to have a Tana that holds that when something's Hukaf Ladira but it's very large, that it's going to be a problem. So that's why the majority of the Rishonim say that even Rabbi Yudah ben Bava is moda that if it's hukaf ledira, no matter how large it is, even larger than Shivim Amos v'Shiraim, it's going to be a full-fledged Rosh HaSiyachid. But over here, it's not considered to be hukaf ledira because it's hukaf ledira means that you started using it ledira and then you surrounded it with a mechitza, meaning the mechitzos were made after it already began its usage ledira. So the mechitzos were litzorech ledira. There was dira first, and then the mechitzos were made litzorech that dira. Where Rabbi Yudah ben Bava is being mechadish, we're talking about an area that had mechitzos around it, and then he decided, oh, what's there in mechitzos there anyway? I might as well use it ledira. So you reverse the order. The mechitzos came first, and then the dira came. That's where it's going to be a problem when it's larger than Beis HaSayim. That's the way the majority of the Rishonim understand. But anyway, we'll stick with Rashi, I guess, now, because it's somewhat simpler. It doesn't introduce this new factor about which came first when you built the mechitzos. Rabbi Yudah Omer, then Rabbi Yudah disagrees. Rabbi Yudah says, Afilu ein ba elo bar v'shiach u'ma'ara, even if all it has is a bar or a more narrow body of water or a ma'ara, something that's like a cave that's in there, any of those things, metaltan betocha, it's a full-fledged Rosh Hashiach, you'd be metaltan here. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Afilu ein ba achas mikalelu, even if it doesn't have any of these things, meaning it's not hukaf ledira at all, metaltan betocha, it's a full-fledged Rosh Hashiach, ubavach yeba shivimam v'shirayim el shivimam v'shirayim, as long as it's not bigger than 70 and change by 70 and change, meaning the only qualification is that it's smaller than a Beis HaSayim. If it's a Beis HaSayim or smaller, it's perfectly fine. You don't have to ask any questions about hukaf ledira or not hukaf ledira. Hukaf ledira only becomes an issue when it's more than Beis HaSayim. So that is the shita of Rabbi Akiva. So we pask in that something, a place needs to be hukaf ledira if it's very large, and if it's not, then you're not allowed to be metaltel in it. So where does the shear of Beis HaSayim come from? So the Gemara learns it from the Chatzar HaMishkan, because the Chatzar HaMishkan was 50 amos by 100 amos. So Tos raises the question, why do Chazal learn from the Chatzar HaMishkan? Why don't they learn from the Har HaBayis or from the Ezras Nashim, the Ezras Yisrael, which was larger than Beis HaSayim? So Tosos gives two terutzim. Number one, Tosos says that all dinim of Shabbos are learned from the Mishkan, not from the Mikdash, and therefore the shear Beis HaSayim makes sense to learn from the Mishkan, not from the Mikdash. We always learn Hilcha Shabbos from the Mishkan, so the Kasha is not a Kasha. Second, Tosos says that the Azaros in the Mikdash were considered hukaf ledira because the shomrim would sleep there at night, meaning the shomrim hamikdash who were on guard would sleep there at night. That's why they had a vekar in the base of mikdash. had someone go waking them up in order to do the avodah the next day. The Mishnayos and Tamid tell us about this. So since there were people that were sleeping there, that's called hukaf ledira. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, ooh, that's an important line of Tosfos, that it's only considered hukaf ledira because people were sleeping there. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, what about a Beis HaKnesses? Is a Beis HaKnesses considered hukaf ledira? So he says, no, it's not considered hukaf ledira, even though people learn there and people daven there, because the Gemara says that the Mishkan was not considered hukaf ledira. And we learn from the Mishkan, the Shir of a Makom, that's not hukaf ledira, even though the Mishkan was used for avoda. So a Beis HaKnesses that's found, that's outside of the Erev, you build it outside of the city, and the Erev is not makif the Beis HaKnesses. So if that happens to be larger than Beis HaSayim, it would be also to be metaltel there more than Dalet Amos. But a Beis HaKnesses that's in a city, and there are mechitzos of the city that surround the Beis HaKnesses as well, then certainly it's considered hukaf ledira, because it's pasuach to a makom that's hukaf ledira, and therefore it'll be fine. But it's only if the situation that the tikkun of the Erev is nifsal, or the Beis HaKnesses is chutz le'ir, that there's what to talk about, whether a Beis HaKnesses is hukaf ledira or not. So it's not really no gael l'maisa, says the Aruch HaShulchan Fras, because our batei knesios are normally in the city, and the city has an Erev around it. The Prima Gadim, however, says bepashas that Beis HaKnesses is not considered hukaf ledira, and if it's outside of the city and larger than Beis HaSayim, it's asur to be metaltel. And he says it's true that that's very uncommon that that happens, and in all of Eretz Yisrael, you don't find a single Beis Medrash that's larger than Beis HaSayim other than the Kosel Ma'aravi, but the Kosel that's mukaf al yidei Choma Seir, which is made the Shem Dira, and appears of the Shar Yafo, there's a Tikkun Tzuras HaPesach, so it's completely inside. However, the Chazon Ish says that Beis HaKnesses is considered mukaf ledira, and he says that there are those that are mechalik between a Beis HaKnesses where you don't eat and drink and a Beis HaKnesses where you do eat and drink. Meaning, it may not depend. Learning and davening is not enough, right? Because we know the Mishkan was not enough to be considered hukaf ledira. But eating and drinking, that's considered a tashmish of dira. So the halacha is, halacha mufresh is not allowed to eat and drink in the Beis HaKnesses. But that doesn't stop people a lot of times. So you have a Beis HaKnesses that's set up that people eat and drink there. Oh, there's a tanai they make that you're allowed to eat and drink there because they don't want the Beis HaKnesses to have full kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So it works. It doesn't have full kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And maybe you're allowed to eat and drink there, but then it becomes a dira. Then it becomes something that might be hukaf ledira. Okay, back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer. So now the Mishnah quotes another machlok, a different issue about a karpif and a gina that are not 70 and change by 70 and change. Rabbi Elazar Omer Maisa Orko Yeser Al Rachba Afilu Ama Achas in Metalklim Betocha. If you have a gina or a karpif that's less than 70 by 70 and it's not hukaf ledira, but the length is greater than the width, meaning it's not a square, and if it's even off by one amma, then you're not allowed to be metaltel inside more than four amos. So even though it's l'pachos mi beis hasayim, but it's not the right shape, it's not a square, then it's going to be a problem. That's how Rashi explains over here on the Mishnah. Now we're talking about it's an imperfect square. Now the Gemara is going to explain, nah, it's not what we mean. It doesn't have to be a perfect square. It means that it's not, that if it's even one amma off from the dimensions of the Chatzar Mishkan of being the length being twice as long as the width. If it's one amma more than twice as long, that's going to be a problem. But Rashi and Mishnayos always explains just the Pasha Pshat, how you're supposed to understand the Mishnah as you're reading the Mishnayos. And then the Gemara, we see that sometimes the simple reading of the Mishnah is not the correct Pshat. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Orka Pishnayim Barachba Metalta Metocha, that the length can be twice as much as the width, and you can be metalta in it. So, wait, we just said that the Gemara is going to tell us that was the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that the length could be twice as much as the width, just not one amma more than twice as much as the width. So then what are they arguing about? So the Gemara is going to deal with that, but that's dafka why Rashi interprets Rabbi Eliezer's sheet on the Mishnah like the simple reading, that it just has to be a perfect square, even though it's not really a shita, because you have to be able to read the Mishnah straight. Rashi will always, whenever the Mishnah doesn't read straight, he'll either say, Mefarish b'Gemara, he'll let you know that the Gemara Gemara is going to tell you otherwise, or he'll read the Mishnah in a way that it reads straight, and then later on, when you get to the Gemara, you'll hash out all of the issues. So then, Amar Rabbi Loi, Shamati Rabbi Lazar, he says, I heard from Rabbi Lazar that if you have a gino or a carpet, if you could be metaltal in the entire area, like Rosh HaSiachid, Vafilu Hikabes Kor, even if it's way larger than Beis HaSayim, and even if there's no Beis Dira inside of it. So now the Mishnah quotes another couple of halachos that Rabbi Loi said together with this halacha that don't really have much to do with this halacha. Let's say they have a number of members of the chatzar, a number of people that have homes in the chatzar, and one of them forgot to join in the eruv. So beso asur milachnas lotzi, that person's house, you're not allowed to take from it into the chatzar or bring things from the chatzar into it. Lo, for him, for his purposes, avalahem mutter, but for the purposes of the other bnei chatzar, that's going to be mutter. So that's halacha number one that we heard from him, that for that fellow who forgot to join in the Eruv, he's not allowed to carry things in and out of his house into the Chatzar, but for other people it's going to be Mutter. The Rashash writes that it sounds like Rashi holds that even for other Bnei HaChatzar, you're not allowed to be Metaltel Kalim for him from his house to the Chatzar, and even to bring their own Kalim from his house for him is Aser. Even to bring their own Kalim from his house is going to be Aser. And he says that the fact that other people are not allowed to bring Kalim from his house for him, his kalim from his house for him, so that I understand very well. But the fact that Rashi's mashma that it's also for the other bnei chatzar to bring from his house their own kalim for his sake, he says, I don't know why that would be a problem. Their own kalim lechora should follow them. So he's not really sure why Rashi implies that even the kalim that belong to the other members of the chatzar who did participate in the erev would be a problem. But anyway, that's one other halacha that we learned from Rabbi Lai. The chen shamati mimenu, and Rabbi Lai says, I also learned from Rabbi Lazar, sheyotzin ba'ar kablin bepesach, that ar kablin, a certain type of bitter herb, can be used for maror on Pesach. V'chazarti al kol talmidav, and then I went to ask all the other talmidim of Rabbi Lazar, to ask them if they remember learning such things, u'bikash li chaver, and I looked for a chaver who's going to say that he learned these halachas as well, v'lo matzasi, and I couldn't find anybody that agrees that this is in fact what we learned from him. So apparently I was the only one that was hearing these things when I was in the when I was in the shir. No one else was able to tell me that these are things that Rabbi Lazar actually said. Okay, so now the Gemara right away just picks on a detail in the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts out with the word va'od. Va'od am Rabbi Ben Bava. So it says Gemara, Maitana the Katani va'od. What were we coming from? What were we just discussing that it makes sense to begin the Mishnah with the word va'od? So ilay mishum de tani lechadul chumra v'katani achriti. If it's because Rabbi Ben Bava previously had one chumra about another topic, and now he's adding another chumrah, mishamachik tani va'od, and that's why the Mishnah says the lashon of va'od, even though the two chumras have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Rabbi Yehuda Bava is not the only one that had two chumras in a row and a couple of mishnayos in a row. Rabbi Yehuda also had a chumrah, because in the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, he told us that you only make pasi biros for an area that's less than Beis HaSayim, which is a chumrah, right? An area larger than Beis HaSayim, he said, Rabbi Yehuda had said in Yud Ches Amud Aleph, you're not allowed to make pasi biros. And then in the next Mishnah Chav Beis Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda said another chumrah, that if you had, there's a derech harabim that travels right through the pasi biros, you shall kennel it studin, you have to move it off to the side because it's going to ruin asi rabim vatim mechitzos. But it didn't say va'od over there, even though he had two consecutive mishnayos that each had a chumrah. And the Gemara is working with the assumption, Rashi points out, that the reason we don't say va'od within Rabbi Yehuda is because the two items have nothing to do with each other. That the first one, the first chumrah that he said about how large an area the pasim covers, and the last one was not about how large an area, but the usage of that area. How many people pass through that area? So the Gemara says, if they have nothing to do with each other, you don't say va'od. So here also, the two comments of Rabbi Ben Bava have nothing to do with each other, and therefore we shouldn't say va'od. So says Gemara, no. You could have two comments that have nothing to do with each other. You would still say va'od, but hasim afsakura Rabbanan, Hachalach Sukkur Rabbanan, the difference between Rabbi Yehuda's two chumras and Rabbi Ben Bava's two chumras is that by Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan spoke up in between those two chumras. The Chachamim speak up, and the first Mishnah, after Rabbi Yehuda says the chumra of that you can't have an area of larger than Beis HaSayim surrounded by Pasi Biraz, the Chachamim say, yes, you can! Kor Kurai, you can have a larger area. So since the Chum were mafsik, so that's why we don't say va'od. But over here, there was no hefsik. So says Gemara, but is that a rule also? V'kalhecha dafsekur rabbanan lo katani va'od? Whenever the rabbanan speak up in between two chumras of a single tana, we're not going to use the word va'od? I'll show you otherwise. V'rabbi Eliezer de sukkah. Rabbi Eliezer, the tana in Mesech HaSukkah, has such a comment. He has two chumras in a row, and dafsekur rabbanan, and the rabbanan interrupt in between those two chumras, v'katani va'od, and it still says va'od. What are the two chumras of Rabbi Eliezer in Mesech HaSukkah? So one is that Rabbi Eliezer has a shita that a person has to eat 14 seudos in his sukkah throughout the Yom Tov Sukkah. 7 days, two meals a day, all have to be eaten in your sukkah. And the Chacham disagree, and they say, no, Laila Rishon, the first night of Yom Tov, you have to eat in the sukkah. The rest of the days, there's no chiyuv to eat. Meaning, they argue about Teshvu Ke'en Taduru, that we assume that Pasukah's Teshvu means that you have to sit in the sukkah the way you would live in their house, in your house. So what does that mean? Does that mean that whatever you normally do in your house now becomes a chiyuv that you must do exactly that in the sukkah? That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Since it's normal, no one is obligated to eat two meals a day in their home, but since that's what's normal to do, Rabbi Eliezer says that's what you must do in the sukkah, and it becomes obligatory in the sukkah. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, Teshvu Ke'en Taduru means however you behave in your house, that's how you behave in the sukkah. So if you're not hungry, you don't eat when you're home. So if you're not hungry, don't eat when you're in the sukkah. It doesn't have to be two meals a day for 7 days. The first night is a separate pasuk, tesvav. We learn from Chag HaMatzos that you have a special din on the first night that you got to eat in the sukkah. But that's it, only the first night. That's the shita of the Chachamim. So, and then Rabbi Eliezer has another chumrah that if a person did not eat the first night in the sukkah, he could be mashlim the number of seudos by eating that he needs, the 14 seudos that he needs, by eating leili yom tov ha'achron shel chag in the sukkah. You could eat on Shmini Atzeres and be mashlim. So says Gemara in a hasam b'milsehu da'av sukkah. Over there by sukkah, the chacham were mafsik at least on topic, and that's why they can say va'od. Hacham b'milsehu achrit da'av sukkah. But over here, the chacham were mafsik between the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda with something that Rabbi Yehuda didn't even talk about. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about pasi biros, and then the chacham start talking about a gina, a karpef, a deer, a soar. So they start talking about other things, other topics. So that's why you can't say that that you don't have the word va'od in on the comment of Rabbi Yehuda, but you do by Rabbi Eliezer, and you do by Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava in our Mishnah. Okay, that was just a technicality, nothing to do with the halacha. Now Rabbi Kiva Omer, afilu ein ba'echon mikalelu metal z'metocha. Rabbi Kiva says, if you have a gina or a karpef that doesn't have any of the items listed by Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, you're allowed to be metaltal in it like a rishus hayachid. So says my Rabbi Kiva in the Tanakama. According to the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Daf Yud Ches, they also said that the shear of Beis HaSayim, 70 and change by 70 and change, is only for a gina and a karpef, which is not hukaf ledira. But any place that's hukaf ledira, I don't care how large it is. You're allowed to carry in it if it's hukaf ledira. So it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is trying to argue on all the previous Tanaim, but he's not. He's saying the exact same thing that the Chacham said in the previous Mishnah. So says Marno, he's not saying the same thing. Iga benayu davar muat. The nafkamina, the machlokas between Tanakam and Rabbi Kiva is a very tiny shear beyond Shivim Amma Vishirayim, al Shivim Amma Vishirayim. What does that mean? Where do we find that there's a machlokas about a very tiny shear, a davar muat, beyond 70 amos and change, by 70 amos and change? Titania, we have a brisa. There is this tiny shear, a small amount beyond the 70 amos of shirayim that you're still allowed to be metaltal in it. But the chacham were not choshesh to be mefarit that shear, to detail and to describe that shear. V'kama shear sasayim, and what is this shear? So the makom that you could plant sasayim to sa'av chitim kechatzar mishkan, like the chatzar of the mishkan, which is a little bit more than an etzba beyond Shivim Amah V'Shirayim. So the Tanakhama thought that the Chum were very medactic in their shir, and since the Chatzar Mishkan was a base of Sayim, you're allowed to be metaltal up until that shir. The Chum just didn't bother mentioning it because it's such a tiny amount, but that's really mutter up until 70 Amos and 4 Tfachim and an Etzpa, right? And an extra Etzpa. And Rabbi Kiva holds the Chum were not so medactic in the shir, and any time it's more than 70 Amos V'Shirayim, it's Einu Muka, and it's Einu Muka Fadir, it's also the Taltabo. When the Chum were making the shear of what's considered an area that's too large and is therefore going to need to be mukaf ladira, they didn't give like to the exact inch. So they gave a shear for us that's easier for us to follow. So Shivim Amah V'Shirayim is the shear, and that became the shear. That became the halacha. Anything more than Shivim Amah V'Shirayim already needs to be mukaf ladira. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Tanakhama. Very, very tiny machlokas, a tiny difference of the size. So minan imili, how do I know that the way Rishonim understands, the way Rashi seems to understand, minan imili is we're asking a math question, we're asking a geometry question. How do I know that Shivim Amah V'Shirayim actually works out based on Beis Asayim, 50 amos by 100 amos? So it says Maramar Vidu Damakra, because the pasuk says by the measurement of the Chatzar Mishkan, Orech HaChatzar Me'a Ba'ama V'Roch. Well, it's not really a math question. We're asking, how do I know that you're allowed to square it out? That we measure it by a square, and we don't just measure it by the Chatzar Mishkan being the exact shape of the Chatzar Mishkan. Because the pasuk says, Orech HaChatzar Me'a Ba'ama V'Roch of Chamishim B'Chamishim. What does Chamishim B'Chamishim mean? It must mean, Amrat Torah Tol Chamishim V'Sabev Chamishim. That take 150 Amah by 50 Amah area and spread it around the other 50 Amah by 50 Amah area and see what size square you get. And the size square you get is Shivim V'Shirayim by Shivim V'Shirayim. But it's from that Lashon of the Pasuk of Chamishim B'Chamishim that we see that a square space is going to work. That it doesn't have to be Dafka 50 Amos wide. And you can square it out to make it 70 and change by 70 and change. Says Mara, that's great, but Pashli Dekrab B'Maiksev. The Pashas of the Pasuk is talking about the Chatzar HaMishkan. So it's not talking about setting up an area that's Hukaf Ladira, not Hukaf Ladira. It's talking about, so what's the Pashup Shat? In the Pasuk, right? That's how Rashi understands that the Pasuk of the Pasuk has to say something about the Mishkan. The Ritva and the Ran point out that, no, the Gemara is asking Pasuk to Krab Maik Siv, because this has to be an Asmachta, right? It's not just Eina Mikra Yotzi Midei Pshuto, which is also a rule that there always has to be a Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk, even when it's a Drasha Gemura. The Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk is also meaningful, and that's not just what we're asking. We're saying that this isn't a Din on a Daraisa level. This is only an Asmachta. So if it's only an Asmachta, what is the pasuk actually about? So Rabbi, Hemin Mishkan al Sfas Chamishim. Now, what the pasuk is actually about is where to place the Mishkan within that 50 Amah by 100 Amah area. So you put it right at the edge of 50 Amos, Kedei Sheh Chamishim Amah Lefanav, so that in front of the Mishkan you have 50 Amos of open space, Ve'esr Amah Lekal Ruach V'Ruach, and you'll have 20 Amos on all the other sides of the Mishkan, because the Mishkan was 30 Amos long and 10 Amos wide. So if you put it right in the middle of the width of the Chatzar, so at the end of 50 Amos, so the Chatzar will begin. So it turns out that on the two sides, and Me'achorav, there are 20 Amos in every direction, right? Because if it's 50 Amos wide, and the Mishkan itself is 10 Amos wide, and the Chatzar Mishkan is 50 Amos wide, so that leaves 20 Amos in each side. And if the Mishkan is located at the 50-yard line, at the 50 Amos line, Shigra Delishna, at the 50 Amos line, and it only goes 30 Amos deep, so there are 20 Amos behind it. So says my Reb Lazar Omer Maisa Arka. So Reb Lazar says if the orech, if the length is greater than the width, even by one amma, then you can't be metaltal. And it says my Reb Atanya, Reb Lazar Omer Maisa Arka, yes, I'll be shnayi barachma, afilu amma chasein metaltal metocha. But didn't we learn that Reb Lazar says that it's, Rabbi Eliezer says that it's not if it's one amma longer, but if it's one amma longer, then double it's going to be a problem. But it could be way longer, the length could be way greater than the width. Some Rabbi Barbai, kitan am messi. Yes, I'll be shnayim berachba tonight. It's yes, I'll be shnayim berachba. That's the emphasis. That it's more that one amma doesn't mean one amma longer than the width. It means one amma bigger than twice the width. Iach yain Rabbi Yossi. But then, if that's the case, that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah. So what are they arguing about? Seikah benayu ribua deribua rabbanan. What they argue about is what the Chacham Darshan, when it says bichamishim, that we should measure out the Chatzar Mishkan, how much it would be if you were to square it out. Rabbi Lez Eliezer doesn't have that drasha, and he holds that Rosh Hashanah has to be, in order for it to be a regular Rosh Hashanah, its length has to be twice the width, like the Chatzar Mishkan. It's just that it doesn't have to be Dafka, Orcha, Yesal, Rachbo, even if Orcha and Rachbo are Shavim, they're the same, it's also mutter to be metatal in it. Whereas Rabbi Yossi holds of this drasha that Bechamishim, and therefore he holds that the Yikar Din of Rosh Hashanah is when it is exactly squared. It's just that we even allow Orko Yeser al Rachbo. Meaning, what they argue about is Lichachila. Ideally, should it be a squared area? So if you hold this drasha of Bichamishim, you hold that the Chumash is telling us that really, ideally, it should be squared. It's just that we'll allow up until twice the length of the width. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, no, there's no ideal over here. There's no ideally being squared. The measurements could be up until, the length could be up until twice as much as the width, and there's no hidur in having it more square than that. As long as it fits that criteria, yeah, even the lechavchila, that's perfectly fine. That's what seems to be the machlokas between them. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, then we had Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah that even Arko Pishnayim Barachba, you can be metaltal. See it? Mar Amrav Yosef Amrav Domer Shmuel, Halacha Krabi Yossi. That even a karpif that's twice as long as the width, you're allowed to be metaltal in it. Rav Bibi Amrav Domer Shmuel, Halacha Krabi Akiva, that the Halacha Krabi Akiva, that any area that's less than Shivim Vishirayim, by Shivim Vishirayim, you could be metaltal in it, even if it's not Hukaf Ledira. Vitravayel Kula, and both of these comments of Shmuel are coming to be Mekel, that Shmuel Paskins in these two machlokas, like the more mekel shita, utzricha, and Shmuel has to tell me both of these memos. Di ashminan halach Rabbi Yossi. If you only would have told me halach Rabbi Yossi and not that halach Rabbi Akiva, hava amina, I would have said that even though we pass on Rabbi Yossi, that even when it's twice as long as the width, you could be metaltal in it. But still, adi ika shomer beis dira. It still has to be hukaf ladira. You still need a guard booth. You still need a beis dira. So kamash milan halach Rabbi Akiva. That's why Shmuel had to also tell me that we pass on Rabbi Akiva. That any time it's not shivam by Shivim Mamav Vishirayim, you don't need a Shomero Beis Dira. Anytime it's less than Beis Asayim, you don't need it to be Hukaf Ladira, as long as it's Hukaf. V'yashmin Alach Rabbi Kiva, and if you would have only told me Alach Rabbi Kiva, have a mina Darich V'katam, I would have said that only a heck of Mechitzos, that's Archa V'rachbo, are the same. When it's a square, you're allowed to be Metaltal. But Darich V'katam low, but if it's rectangular in shape, then you can't be Metaltal in it. So Kamash Milan, Halach Rabbi Yossi, and that's why he has to tell me that we pass on the Rabbi Yossi, that could be rectangular also, as long as it's not too long of a rectangle, as long as it's a 2-to-1 ratio of length to width, that's going to be perfectly fine. So let's stop there, and Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with Karpeth. That's already the next thing that takes us well into tomorrow's daf. Have a great day, everybody. Pleasure, have a great day.